It's recording. Now it's recording. Okay. All right, folks. I'm going to call this meeting to order. We've got some folks joining us on Zoom here. Councilperson Silver and City Administrator Karen Seegers. It's going to be a little hard probably to hear, so I'm going to jack the volume up, but just please help out by just keeping the noise level manageable. All right. We have an agenda. We have some changes to the agenda. The De La Salles will not be here this evening addressing the council about their variance conditions, so we're going to skip past that. For the sake of housekeeping, I'm going to rearrange the order of the agenda items. Let's do the housekeeping on the front end. Do I need to... Hold on, let me mute you.
Is Carol barking?
That was Karen. All right. All right. Got it. All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to start with the discussion of a proclamation from American Red Cross asking us to declare March American Red Cross Month. I'm going to ask council on Monday night if they will allow me to motion for a proclamation.
Absolutely.
All right. For American Red Cross. All right. We'll do that Monday night. Next item will be the resolution establishing the franchise fees for the cable services. We do our collecting franchise fees, but according to the city administrator, we do not have a set amount, so they can start paying less or more if they were so inclined, but we need to establish a set fee. So, Karen, is that correct?
Did you mute her?
No, she unmute yourself.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. So it is to establish a set franchise fee. Item number three, discussion of the Novartek copy release. The lease is coming up for renewal. We just need to decide if we want to continue. Karen, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation would be to go with this lease.
So City Hall's recommendation is to continue with the copier lease.
Who wants to have 39 months.
Huh? Sorry.
39 months.
All right. Who wants to handle that on Monday night? Lloyd had his hand up first. Thank you, Councilman. All right. The next item will be item number six, which is the intergovernmental agreement with Cherokee County to conduct the municipal election. Karen, you want to give them the lowdown on that? It's not on there. I'm sorry. I meant to tell you guys we needed to.
It was on the email copy.
It was on the email copy, but not on this copy.
Right.
So this is an agreement that we have with Cherokee County. It has to be renewed every 2 years. I talked with the director yesterday, and the only change that this in the cost will be the cost for delivery. So that's the only change. They're not going up on any other fees.
All right, so this is the only
delivery, meaning actual physical delivery of the
elections.
Equipment?
Yes.
Correct. They can't do it in a one of their county owned vans. They have to actually hire a moving company to do that for us. So,
all right.
It's still way cheaper than Fulton County.
Oh yeah.
Far cheaper. Anybody have any questions?
I do.
Yes, Carol.
Difference is in the delivery cost. Just, I mean, I don't even know if you have that information, but how much is it going up?
What you see is what it will be.
Okay, but we can't, I mean, we don't have a comparison to, another agreement with them?
I don't have any previous agreements with them.
Then how do we know the cost for delivery is rising?
Because
she
said that they can't deliver it in a county-owned van, that they have had to hire a moving company.
Right. So that's making the cost go up based on what we're looking at in the agreement. It's going up?
It's in the agreement. It's the cost that's listed in the agreement. Same thing goes for City of Woodstock. They also have to hire a moving company for theirs as well.
Okay.
There are more chairs in that closet back there if anybody would like to pull one out. Okay. So basically, it's just the cost, the additional cost of having to rent a truck to bring the equipment down here. It's just too much equipment for them to bring in their van. For anybody that this goes back to, we've been working with Cherokee County on this for years. Our cost for doing an election with Fulton County was about $12,000 per election. We were able to, because we're partly in Cherokee County, we were able to partner with Cherokee County and do those same elections for around $3,000. In some cases, even less. So we certainly do value the relationship we have with Cherokee County in handling our elections. And, you know, the increase that she's referring to is minor in comparison. So who wants to take this on Monday night? Don? Councilman Carlson. Okay. All right, we're getting through the housekeeping. We're getting to the main events. So, first item I think we will go with is, Karen, do you want to do the parking now, or do you want to wait and do that after the variance hearing?
I'd rather do it last.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get to the variance hearing for 109 Westlake Drive. These folks here, the Cornettes, are here, and I have Mr. Cole Brunner here as well. Everyone has copies of the variance applications. They have all the documentation, and I'm just going to ask these gentlemen and this lady to do their presentation to council and the audience, and then we'll go into Q&A after that.
Thank you, Jim. I'll first introduce myself. I'm Ben Cornett. We currently reside at 112 Westlake. Been here for 5 years. Incredible community and an incredible city to be part of. I took my mask off and put my running shorts on. You probably seen me in my shorts. So, 3 or 4 times a week. I look a little bit different than that. So the short story is, you know, we've lived at 109 Westlake for 5 years. We knew Tocoa to live there before. We've seen kind of house go downhill in the 5 years we've been there. You know, once she left, we saw an opportunity to kind of make it a better place. So we approached Angela that owned it and said, hey, if you're interested, we'd like to buy the property. You know, and the whole point is, you know, we love the city. We live in Mountain Park right across the street. We look at it every day. We just want to do something to that, right?
I really wanted to make the change. Like, looking at it every day, just to, like, something I see is very personal to me. So I just wanted to get, you know, something that's really nice for us to look at every day.
Yeah, so we've never bought property other than what we lived in, so you go up to the world, right? So we do, and as we start kind of looking into it, we start seeing some issues that we're kind of unfamiliar with. So we met Bill in the neighborhood and said, yeah, Bill, you might help us out. So kind of give us direction. So so we are now learning how to do variances. So I'll start with exhibition A, what you call it. So this is our current survey.
Yes.
Jim, can you have him stand just a little bit closer to where I can hear? I think Karen.
Yeah, if you want to come a little more to the middle, Ben. Yeah.
Just a tiny bit. I want to hear him. I've got that. I just need to hear this gentleman.
All the presentation.
All right.
Present the Senate Council for the first time. All right, so we got the survey done, and we found out pretty quick that there's a part. Half the carport and basically half the driveway are sitting on somebody's car. So that was kind of a flag. It was long.
Where are the roads?
So right here is Westlake. So this is Westlake right here. And then this is Wayne's property. And then Eastlake.
You can turn that around a little bit. Well, Carol does have the benefit of having copies for all of all this, so these folks may get it.
Okay. So most of our variance is based on that. You know, you don't want to build a new house on somebody else's property. So part of the variance is we want to move the house 15 feet to the north. And when we do that, the second part of the variance is that will still include a zero setback, which is zero is better than negative, right? That's the way I'm looking at it. So we'll have, so that's it. And then the other part is we're going to make it 1,350 square feet to meet current code. So it's currently 750. So we want to be able to have a grant to add 625 square feet. So in a nutshell, that's what we're asking. So once we do that, it is, will look like this. So this will be gone. Propose a garage, 750 square feet, and the home will be 1350, 1375. The driveway will basically remain the same. We'll add slight amount of concrete to the front to ensure you can get out of the garage, back up, so not back into the street. So in a nutshell, that's where we're at.
Ben,
all right.
So I understand you're asking three things. One, you said you want to move the house so it conforms with the legal lot line, which it hasn't for 25 years.
Right.
Number two, you want to adhere to the setback rules.
Well, we'll still be at a setback of zero.
Okay.
And the reason
so that's the variance you're asking for.
Right, that's the variance. And the reason is if you get beyond that, you start getting into more trees and more issues back up, right?
And the third component, you're going from a smaller footprint to a larger, yet still legal footprint.
Correct. To make it 1,350 square feet of heated room.
Which is what the current code is for building a mountain.
Exactly.
So I just want to be clear. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions from council?
That's why I keep her around.
Keeps you looking good, huh? All right. Any other questions, council? Anybody in the audience have a question for the Cordette?
I'm just sorry for being a little confused, but if you're moving off someone else's property and further onto your own, why do you need a variance? It's your own property, right?
Well, in essence, what they're doing is the part of their structure is over on the property of someone else.
Right.
They're wanting, they need to move it back, but they are not moving it far enough to be out of the setbacks, the mandatory setbacks in the city. So what they're asking for is a variance to allow them to move it back across the property line, but not move it the 20 feet that is required by the city code. They want to just move it over the property line to the property line, but on their side of it.
So when you rebuild, you have to conform to code, and they're asking not to do that.
They're asking for a variance. But like he said, they're saying that if they move it further onto their property, past the property line, they're going to have to take out more trees and you know, all that. It's just what they're trying to do is to stay, or I'm not going to assume, but I mean, I'm just assuming they're just trying to keep from having to go further onto the property and take down more, clear more of the lot itself. I saw another hand over here, and then I'll let the lady in the back. All right. Well, hang on, because she had her hand up first, but I thought there was someone right here. Yes, you, and then I'll let you go next.
So as part of the tree preservation board, how many specimen trees will be taken down? And can that be avoided? Because as we know, our lakes suffer every time we have a fill happens, and we end up with more soot, more problems running off, and we all live on hills, so there's a natural decline of water runoff. So what you're asking, how will that hurt or inhibit our environment as is?
So I got a slide for that. Okay, so there are really only seven trees that will be impacted. Two of those trees are specimen, but one is sitting on a wall and is already being damaged. So it's not really gonna make it.
Sitting on a foundation wall.
It's right coming through a wall right now. Okay. Like, even the arborist says.
So maybe that would come down anyway because we don't want our trees in growing in our homes. Okay.
Right. So really, I mean, all.
So now you're looking at six specimen trees.
There's seven trees.
Seven trees total, and two of them are specimens.
Right. And where the current house is, they're all within 15 feet or less. One is 7 feet from the house. One is 10 feet from the house on the back right side. One is 15. So for us to move the house and try to get as legal as we can, those trees are really cool. And really will happen. And then the two specimen trees, one's in the front, if you drive by, there's one in the front. If you look at it, it's got a bunch of dead leaves or dead limbs. And the other one, I won't get too close, but there's a wall in the back. And the wall is actually touching the tree. And it's actually, we have a report, we've got Lynn come look at it, and we also hire an arborist to come do all seven trees.
Hey, bravo for hiring an arborist, because the Tree Preservation Board would love the city of Mountain Park to hire an arborist. Right now we have a volunteer arborist, and it does no good right now. We would love to have a hired arborist, because when you're paid to do something, it gets followed through.
So duly noted. We won't. Let's don't go down that bunny trail tonight.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, I just wanted to have that.
All right.
Yeah.
Duly noted. Yes.
So for my project, for my project, we hire. Yeah, we do obviously do care. I mean, that's part of why you live in this neighborhood, right?
That's
so this one, I mean, it's a beautiful tree, but it's already being damaged by a wall, and there's no way we can demo that wall without hurting it.
The one in the front yard with the orange tape around it, that's safe, right?
Ben, hold on real quick. This lady had a question too after her, and then that gentleman back there. Tammy?
Yeah, okay, so, I lived across the street from this particular house for 25 years, and had, numerous issues with the previous owner. And so now that, she's not there anymore and you guys bought it, that's all great. I'm happy to see something better there. The only issue I have is on your package, I didn't see a drainage issue for one. A drainage, what you're gonna do when you impact the soil. That whole side of the street comes down and under Wayne's sort of in the driveway across the street and goes directly onto my property. So because of a past situation with the property that was built behind me, there was numerous drainage issues where it impacted the creek. The creek is part of my property. The drainage culvert is on my property. I'm sorry, I can't speak with this on. And so my issue is I would like to know exactly what's going to be done when the ground is disturbed and all that, because it will create quite a bit of silt and all that. And going into my property, there is an easement for that whole side of the road for all the stormwater runoff to go onto my property. I mean, my property is allowing everybody on that side of the road to not have water. My property. Okay, so that's my first issue. The other issue I have is I love the trees, I live with the trees, I moved out here because I like the trees. But the other issue is that you have on this, about your recent history and your thing I read, it says, in our opinion, these trees will need to be removed for safety and logistical reasons. So I have had an issue with Angela Loomis for years about two particular trees that are endangering my life and my property. For years, I've had this going on. I was about to take her to court over this. So now we got an issue where all of a sudden, somehow those trees are not going to be dealt with. Seven trees, but the ones that have been, every time the wind blows and there's a storm, I'm worried about those blowing over onto my property, which will kill me. And so that's where I have the issue with. Those are two issues that are extremely important to me. And especially the drainage issue. I mean, that's not fair at all. You cannot build a house without some kind of drainage projections. And yes, I don't like the trees that they would have to come down, but my life is worth something.
All right. Thank you. All right. Ms. Porter, do you want to address that, or do you want to have your builder?
I'll address the first part of it. So we have applied for a demo permit and have been approved. And part of that whole process is the whole placement, tree save, placement of soil runs, so all that has been addressed. So Bill, you can talk a little more of that.
Sure. So, I think most of you know who I am. I'm Bill Coltbringer. I'm working with Ben and Tanya. So part of the process of disturbing the property on this build or any build is what they call best management practices. And by that we mean we meet with our city inspector. They come out and they inspect that we put silt fence down, put tree safe down, and we do our best efforts to keep erosion and runoffs to a minimum. Obviously, there's some things that we can't control, but we're very proactive, and we've got a track record of being proactive in Mountain Park, and we can talk about that later. But with regards to the house, efforts are taken to put silt fence up. Efforts are taken with pine straw and wheat bales for the demolition. The demolition requires very minimal exposure to the dirt. We are simply going in and removing this house and part of the driveway and an appropriate part of the wall. So there's very little disturbance of the earth there. The big disturbance comes when we go to build the house. We are we're requesting the variance to allow us to move the house over 15 feet and to move it back to capture the footprint that's required by current codes. They have impervious surface calculations, and for those of you who don't know what that is, when a raindrop hits the water, hits the ground, it has to go somewhere. If it's concrete, it's got to run off. So currently, we took the calculations, and by the time we remove the concrete, we don't do a patio, we do a larger footprint, we're increasing the entire, where is that? Yeah. I have a slide for that also. We're increasing the impervious surface of the half-acre lot by 545 feet. So on a scale of things, that's pretty minimal. And during the construction process, we have the inspectors come out on a weekly basis and look at our silt fence. We have best management practices in place. We come out and look in the city, and we do our best efforts. Unfortunately,
across the street, so if it's looking bad, I'll go out there with
it. Yeah. And I go look it up every week.
Excuse me?
When I go around,
they're
the silt fence is the first thing they put up and the first thing they check.
Yeah. And when we built our house, we lived across from the pool. Very cognizant of the lake. We just finished the Ross residence, very cognizant of the lake. In fact, I found myself calling the inspector more times than he called me to say, hey, we have an issue, we've got it resolved, and just let you know we have an issue. So anyways, with regards to Tammy's comment about the water, there is a great amount of water that comes down onto West Lake into this and across her property. The good and fortunate thing is we're not increasing, we're not tearing any of this. We're trying to keep the house as close to the property line as possible so that we can try to keep and maintain the integrity of the trees, which absorb water, and the ivies and the ground covering, which will do the same for the flow towards this corner of the property.
Did you say that there isn't a lot of water that comes onto the property?
No, there's a ton of water that comes onto the property that comes down West Lake from the top of the hill.
Yes, that's
all the
right.
Way down.
But you said there wasn't a lot of.
No, there is a lot.
Yes.
We also met with Chad from the city who carries a blue card for erosion, state erosion control, and as do I. And we looked at the ditch and we looked at things. And there was, after a heavy rain event, which was 2+ inches, this was dry, a ton of water coming here, a lot coming down from this area, some coming from down here, and a lot coming down the road. So.
So you're blaming it on the road?
No, never said that.
You just said it for me.
So with that said, silt fence, inspections, best management practices, lives across the street, lives right there. We'll address the issues if there are any. Hopefully there won't be.
Well, where are the silt fences
going to
go?
As directed by the engineers and agreed upon by the city inspectors.
And where exactly?
I don't know exactly because we don't know exactly where the house is
and
going.
And
they will be
up there the whole entire time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and they will be removed. We recently did a house, and we were allowed to remove some sections at a time once the ground was stabilized.
All right. Mr. Heindel, did you still have a question?
I do. Is this house on septic? I assume
it is.
And is the septic enough to handle this new build, or are you going to have to cut all over the cutting a new septic field?
So it is a two-bedroom. And we'll be in there. But we will be putting in a new septic system.
Is that going to impact any further trees?
It should not.
It'll be outside your critical root zone of whatever trees it goes near.
It should be, yes.
Okay.
All right.
If I may add to that, we submitted our plans, and we had our soils engineer come out to check for erosion, check for runoff and absorption rates and percolation. And the soils engineer wrote a very positive report. We then worked with the health department at Fulton County. Inspector came out, walked the property with us. We showed where the existing septic system is, where the existing tank is. And one of the things that we had talked to her about was, typically when you put a new one in, we're allowed to have a septic tank on less than an acre because it's here existing. We agreed to leave the tank in the ground and lines in the ground, because if we kind of take those out, we're going to further endanger standing trees that's right here. So she's allowed us to leave that in the ground, which is great. We're pleasant for that. The new test system has been approved. We have a permit. We can put that in whenever. We're just trying to gauge and do things in a timely, correct, positive manner.
I have another question, just out of curiosity. Is the property owner to down this way okay with you building within a zero?
Yeah. So we actually have a letter from her giving us approval. It's actually been passed down, but this is the second generation. So we actually have a letter from her saying we have approval to be on the property, to clear off the wall there. You know, we want to make it where it's, you know.
She's actually happy that we're taking our stuff off of her land. It's been there like 20 plus years, and making that right for her as well.
And the wall, where's the wall?
So there's a wall that runs right here. So there's a wall right here. Mm-hmm. And so it just, you know, runs off the property. So I'm not sure how it got there. Obviously somebody built it, but they didn't fall out of the sky. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure, you know, how you cross the right line. But, and there's a carport that's halfway. You know, so that's the reason we wanted the garage to stay.
We don't want to build a new structure on someone else's property.
No,
right
here.
I got you. All right, ladies, folks, I always defer to the council members since they're the ones that will actually be voting on these variances. I'm going to let this council member go first, and then the two of you can kind of sort out which one of y'all want to go first and then second. And I saw the other folks that had their hands up as well.
This will save her and save some of the other people. Will you be digging a nice ditch down by the road for the water to get in and go? And you have to not have to do some piping, but that definitely needs to be done in this house. You'll have to keep water from going to everybody else.
So basically, to your point, we're keeping the existing driveway. We're not in the
market. Is there a pipe under it?
There is a pipe under it.
It's called, yeah.
There's a culvert under there. And strangely enough, there's a second culvert down. At one point in time, there was another curb cut, and there's currently a road. And it looks like the resemblance of a still. There's a lot of bottles and a lot of... There's a lot. I know, but all of them are empty, so darn. So
you need a retention pond.
So with regards to the runoff...
Come on, folks. We want everybody to be able to hear.
With regards to the runoff, we have a culvert in place that's here that we will obviously maintain. And if it needs to be enlarged, whatever they
I'll look at it, whatever the engineers tell us,
we'll take their input. And then there's another culvert here, and depending on what happens after construction, A, we can remove that culvert, or we can size it accordingly. It's our intention to get rid of it altogether, so let's just take it
it's
out.
It's really a small thing, but it sure saves a lot of water runoff.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's what we don't have in that part.
Yep. All right, which one of you ladies wants to go first?
Me.
All right. Paper, rock, scissors.
So she answered one of my questions. So this is an income property. For y'all, I didn't know if y'all were going to hop across the street or
not.
Okay, now, my questions are more logistical. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not happy about the trees either. I'm a tree hugger. But my questions are somewhat logistical. First and foremost, being where are you planning to stage from? While you do this construction, it's kind of a hot intersection, and that's a lot of...
I'm so glad you asked, because we have a slide for that. Let me take this one, Ben.
All you, brother.
Okay, thank you. So as many people are aware, we have a very congested infrastructure in Mountain Park. With roads, kind of having sense of people passing and having to pull off. We've all been there, we've all experienced it. We recently built a house at 105 Eastlake, and we had a horrific issue with parking. Some of it was brought upon ourselves, some of it was circumstantial, some of it was, when are we going to finish with this house? We literally had no parking at the house that we did for the Ross residents for various reasons. Long driveway, no parking. We've looked at this site, we've analyzed it in several ways. I mentioned earlier that we have an existing culvert and a curb cut and a road bed that goes all the way in. We have the ability to park, I believe we figured 15 spots, I'm sorry. We have 11 spots on site that we can store vehicles, workers' vehicles.
Wild spots, you should get around them, or there's 11
no, these are on our property. So it's nothing to do with the system. They're sitting on our property. We also have four off-sites available. We've got two of the Cornets, which are located here. And we also have two during construction. We're going to keep this concrete wall in place. We can put two other vehicles there. So we've got 15 spots. Yes, there are going to be days that we have a big truck or we have concrete trucks. As in the past, I will call the city and say, tomorrow we've got concrete trucks coming. Just want to let you know. We always provide a flagman, 8 feet around. We have a 30-foot right-of-way from road to right-of-way to right-of-way. We have 18 feet of pavement. There's no reason why we can't park off the road during that short time that a concrete truck is there or whoever else is working.
No, you're not going to park off the road on my own.
It's a fire hydrant.
Okay, we'll make sure that they're not parking on somebody else's property. Yes.
So obviously, we want to be cognizant of the local traffic. West Lake has become more and more popular as a way to get in and out of Mount Park. And this is an issue that we had. It was a terrible issue where we just finished. This is so much better with the availability of parking and access to the space.
Yeah, because the pool opens all over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which was a problem last year. Yeah, what if I miss? I do a lot of pet sitting and stuff. I have some clients down at that end. It seems to me that we just passed our third Christmas during that bill. Is there kind of a time limit on how long you plan for this project to take? Because that thing was a long.
This
is it finished now, and when would the trailer be going away? If it is?
That's not my trailer.
Whose trailer is it?
I believe it sits in front of Carol Silver's residence.
Right.
All right, let's not.
Not here. But with that said,
she's got it permitted. Okay.
She's wild that way. Yeah.
With that said, the bill that we just did was approximately an 18, 24-month bill, depending on when you start the job. We had a myriad of issues, one being weather, two being a homeowner that took a lot of time to make final decisions. There was no need to rush. And then thirdly, it was a very detailed, intricate custom build, one that was absolutely incredible. When you walk in that house, you open that door, what you see, the craftsmanship at the time, of the structure. This will be a much more streamlined project because you're looking at a house that is not as intricate. It's a basic house. I say basic. We haven't come up with the final floor plan or the design. The solutions and the answers for the house are here. This is going to be a 12-month build tops.
All right. Yes, ma'am. I got Sarah. Crystal was first. Sarah, then Trish.
Impervious surface.
Thank you. And I don't know if the rest of you understand, and I love the Cornets. These guys are great neighbors. We have, David and I have played cornhole with them. We've had drinks together. This is a very sweet couple, and I've enjoyed their company. But I do have seen, and this is why Tree Preservation Board even got started 9 years ago, is I have seen some wonderful builds become the most muddiest mess of all time, where I've actually had, called out water conservations, EPA is out, and they've been fined. You mentioned silt fences, you mentioned gravel. I don't know if a lot of you understand what 550 square feet look like and what it does on a rolling hill. That is my biggest concern, along with when you encroach upon a property line for a new build and do not stay within footprint of the original build. Now we set together as a whole as a city the precedence that any other small cabin can be taken down and more can be added. These are my big concerns, because we're so close to the lake. And unfortunately, Bill, you were not here, and the Cornets were not here when we were in the lake litigation, which is what fired me up to start the preservation for the Tree City USA, because we lost. And we lost because we allowed the same thing to continue to do to us as we were suing others to do. That was my big stand back then, and it continues to be my stand today. We continue to do the same thing that we are suing others for what they've done to us. So everything that you're saying, and I love this presentation, is probably one of the best I've seen, and I love this couple. I do. And I hope they'll still have drinks with me. But I just don't know. I'm hesitant because I'm worrisome if this sets a new precedent for more bill to happen and more space to be taken, another specimen tree. And then as far as the tree preservation and the ordinance is concerned, I believe it needs to be tightened by several manners that needs to be done. That, unfortunately, will not happen for this. If it had been set in place before, I'm sure it would have stopped some of your building projects. Those are my concerns. Okay.
All right.
Let me address those concerns one by one. If I
one more. You talk about drainage. Is the city of Mountain Park prepared to deal with the drainage? You can put a culvert in, but then once we get it down to the bottom of the hill, now what? Where is the drainage from there? Because now it goes into my property. Well, it either leaks into yours, or the proper drainage is set foot by engineers to avoid what's happening over here with Magnolia and Lakeshore and some other places, because unfortunately, you're at the height. Just like Hickory is, you're at a height of a hill and you're on a down spiral. I mean, the more you take out, you're just like slinking it straight down. So I see your concern, and then I also agree with you. You should be able to take out the trees that are harming your residents, and there should be some cohesive. And again, that goes against with our tree ordinance and property.
All right. Let's say, ladies, let Ms. Colbrenner respond to your concerns. And we'll talk, we'll get to your concerns in just a second. I know, that they have the floor.
Separate, but I agree with you.
Okay.
So, first of all, some of the points, and I appreciate you calling us so sweet.
Do we still get to play cornhole?
Maybe. So,
we will not have a group hug. Just saying.
Draw out, you know, sorry.
That's it. Go ahead.
So, same job, we're 5 by 3 inches, that's 5 by 10. You know, so if you look at this vehicle wall, so you're not talking to huge space.
I know, but yeah. I've seen a small space do tons of damage.
Yeah, and if you go look at the land that it's on, you know, the runoff is not coming from there. You know, it's coming down the ditches down the middle. You know, so what we're doing by moving, we're not really going to disturb what is currently happening. You know, so it's kind of, it is what it is today. It's not going to be any worse, probably better after you get up. I mean, that's the honest truth.
All right, Ms. Burley, did you want to speak to this?
Yes, but there's a few I'd like to dissect with this.
Okay, all right.
So the other issue is the area of expansion for the houses in the back. The lay of the property, this is the high spot. It goes down this way, and then it folds into this little ditch area. The area that we're trying to enlarge the house is uphill and then down. I mean, it's going across and then downhill. It's not being directly deposited here. 500 feet of impervious surface is being absorbed into this, and the soils report says that it can handle that, and we can certainly share that with you.
Does it head down Plum Street?
No. No, it all goes all across Serpent Street, which is the best.
Everything goes downhill.
Yeah, but it's going downhill across 200 feet of dirt.
And so most of them are sullen houses, most of it is percolating.
Okay, so you're saying that the uphill from the driveway, so you have Lakeshore, Westlake, as we all know, has a gradual descent. And you're saying that this driveway has basically kind of like a hump, so it goes down, then there's a valley between Westlake and Plum. So the water will then seep into this valley behind all homes that is between Plum and Westlake. Am I correct?
So I didn't use the term humping a garage or humping a
well,
garage.
Well, I know, but those are layman terms and we
I know, but I didn't, but you said I said, and I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get at is, we have a road here our extra water from the expansion, proposed expansion of the house, is literally running down here, surface draining all the way down into here, so it's absorbed. I've got 200 plus feet of dirt to absorb the water that's coming off the extra footage of the house. Also,
the codes. It's most of the water.
Yeah.
His backyard.
Yeah, yeah. Ben's backyard. So, with that said, there's also ratios that the City of Mountain Park requires you to have. You can't have more than X number of feet of hardened surface. You can't have more X number of feet of decks. You can't have more in certain percentages. We are so far below that. I don't have the exact numbers, but I can certainly provide those to you. We are so far below the maximum allowable. We're not even close to it.
So
we're not even close.
Something like 30%. We're at about 50.
Oh, thank you. Here it is, right here.
I just know the water's not going to sit. Yeah.
No, it's not going to sit. It's going to go downhill and into the ground. Unless you have a 5-millimeter flood.
It never goes into the ground. It's, but you know, this is what's getting me, Jim.
Wait, let them finish that conversation, then you can ask again.
So when it runs, I just want to know if the City of Mountain Park is prepared to deal with the cost, where it runs to, and how the City of Mountain Park will deal with it. They won't.
Well,
it depends on my property.
Yes. The good news is we have T-Splash money that we are about to start spending on correcting some of these things.
Okay.
So we've got several hundreds of thousands of dollars that we're going to be. Now, I'm not going to take any more questions until I get to the folks that have been waiting patiently. So if you want to continue to address her concerns, then we're going to get to the next person.
Okay, great. So in a nutshell,
sure.
We're allowed 18% impervious surface on the building.
Yeah.
With the new increase, the proposed 500 feet, we're at 9.03%. We're basically at half of what's allowed. So legally, we can go up, but we're at half. The other thing is we got a total combined, which is just the decks, the roof, the patio, the walkways, the concrete, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
We're allowed 33%. We're at 15.5%. We're less than half of what's allotted. So I feel pretty confident that an impact of a 500-year rain, yeah, we're going to get a little bit of runoff. Your typical rains, we're so far below the percentages.
And then to the tree conservation, that's kind of what's upside. You know, so you take DBH, you need 400 DBH per acre. I won't go into all the details, unless you want me to, but in the end, we're going to have a surplus of almost 300. So, I mean, we're way above with all the trees on that property. You know, and then we're saving as many as we can. Like I said, there's 7 out of 200.
So, and with regards to the two specimen trees that, you know, we're trying to figure out, if can you say, we have one of those trees, which is located.
Stop, time out. Let's have one meeting at a time. Thank you.
So far, you only have two specimen trees that need to come down, correct?
That's correct.
One is already encroaching upon the foundation, which would be already legitimate to take down.
Yes. So we had the city arborist. We had the city arborist, and then we usually agreed to have a third party arborist, just arm's length, make sure everything is being represented for the trees as opposed to representing us. The one tree that's a specimen tree is a white oak. Regardless of where the new house goes, whether it's here or here or here, it's going to die during the demo. I mean, it's literally, we have a wall that is literally 6 inches from the top and it's touching the bottom and it's rubbing the tree. And I have our independent arborist, said the same thing. This tree's not going to make it during demolition. And we also have the same from the city arborist who said the same thing. We had a very long and lengthy conversation in meeting with both arborists, independently of each other. The other specimen tree is the tree that's out front, and it's kind of questionable. Yes, that tree can be limbed and cut all the dead limbs off, but with that said, it's, 7 feet from the existing house, and with the demolition of the house, it's a foregone conclusion that it's probably not going to make it. So from a logistical and safety standpoint, that was one of the things that we wanted to discuss and be transparent about it. We were advised not to discuss trees during the variance or request tree cutting for the variance. We don't want to hide anything. So realistically, during the demo, forgiving the putback, there's going to be such disruption of the soils and the feet of the trees and the roots of the trees, they're probably not going to make it. One of the other things that's really important to us is, and I mentioned earlier, we're trying really hard to preserve this creek stand of trees here. The existing septic tank and existing lines, we're leaving those in the ground so we don't have to disturb those roots on those trees. We have...
But the new septic tank, where it's going to go, as your question was, and what it will disturb. So the existing, most people take the existing septic tank and eradicate it and take it out and put in a new septic tank. But you're going to clear out a separate area and put a new tank in and leave the old one.
That's correct.
So,
and where the new tank is going, you'll see on the tree survey here, that's inside the tree survey and then outside the line, that tank's going right in here, and the drain field's going right in here. It's clear wide open. Coming up, and we'll show you where it's going. We'll stake it out. There's nothing to be cut down. So one of the other issues at hand from our standpoint is, which is why we're trying to get the zero setback, is, sure, if we play by the codes and go to the 20-foot setback, what this shows you is we've got two tulip poplar trees. One of them is 36 inch DBH, and the other one is 32 DBH. Big trees.
Yeah.
If we take our house and move it to get to the 20-foot setback and keep it exactly where it is, even with the same footprint, those two are monarchs. They're just monarchs. So that's why we're trying to get our variance to the house to keep it to the close to the property line so we can stay away from those beautiful poplar trees and try to preserve those. We have our arborist who has made recommendations on what to do, how to do it. We will retain his services and his guidance, working with Lynn, our city arborist from Mountain Park, to ensure we've done everything we possibly can with these trees. The other trees that we've talked about in question with the tree preservation, they're, again, 10 feet from the existing house. Whether the house stays exactly where it is or it gets moved, the vibratory actions of the machinery, they're in the way. They're just not going to make it, in Lynn's opinion, of city arborists and our independent arborists.
So I guess it still stands with council is when we allow an encroachment on the line for a new build and we don't stay within the original footprint, what kind of precedence does this stand for any future build in Mountain Park when we allow this one to go?
So I can't speak for Mountain Park from that standpoint.
No, but the council can, and that's why
Are you directing your question at one of the council members or in general or
in
what?
In general to all council members to keep in mind that when we allow new build, which again, as I will reiterate, I love this couple. I do, I adore them. But as a whole, for park purposes, when we allow to not stay within the footprint, we are approaching more and more and more, and we continue to have variances on these new builds. And it's like property owners that have this raw land behind them, they're encroached upon. And what makes the Mount Park so attractive is that we have this raw land. When we continue to encroach upon, or clear cut, or put sod down, and versus, I mean, now we have like, I'm sorry, this will be a side tip, Jim, but now we all hear on Saturdays or Thursday mornings blowers because people want to keep their sod pristine. We originally moved to Mountain Park for our environment. Now we have bald eagles here. So from this standpoint, it's like, when do we finally draw the line and stick to our laws?
All right, I don't know whether there's anybody on council that would like to respond to that. Do you, Councilman? Councilman Hendricks?
Yeah. The idea about maintaining the original footprint is all well and good, but we have ordinances that say, if you're going to build here, you're going to build a single family home. And there are restrictions about how small that can be. And what they're trying to do is come up and meet the ordinance with regard to it has to be this minimum amount to make it a livable states. And looking at where this is at and what they need to do, making this thing two-story just isn't feasible. And I wouldn't want to see somebody build a two-story building at that spot. That would be crazy. So let's let them go up in square footage. Leave it on one level.
I see what you're saying.
All right.
Leave the ordinance.
This photograph might help also just with the...
All right, I'm going to ask council if anybody else would like to comment. Then we're going to move on to the next questions, which is Sarah and then Trish. I think that's Trish behind the mask back there.
It's Pam.
Pam, I can't see that. If I put my glasses on, I still can't see because I fogged up. All right, out. Mr. Kohlbrunner, I'm going to let councilperson Murphy comment as well, and then we'll move on.
A couple things. One, I think these guys have done just a great job. They've gone to every legal authority. Everything is within the minimums. So I say, you know, if and I'm not saying we're hassling the builders, but I'm saying if we make it too difficult for people to build in our community, we are the only ones going to be paying taxes. And guess what? They're going way up. Number two, I think Crystal has a good point about the precedents. So because I think in the dicier zoning cases we've looked at in the 5 years I've been on council, that is exactly where you have to go. Say, okay, they're a sweet couple, so let's let them do it. Well, what if the next couple looks like down the bottom? Not quite so sweet. But my point would be is they are correcting a huge wrong. Somebody built on somebody else's property, and they are fixing that. So I would say if the next person comes in and says, hey, you want zero setback, the first question I would ask is, what wrong are you correcting? And if there isn't one, then I would probably not vote for that.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Burley. Oh,
okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Time out. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Wait. Another council person wanted to comment.
I want to ask, is that property 50 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet total across?
It's 100 for sure. 100 down. I mean, it's half an acre.
It's 100 feet across. Like that. 50 and 50.
Frontage is over 100 feet. 180.
The house is built kind of on the two lots it owns. Is that right?
It's
like Sarah said.
There's four lots currently that make up this. There's four parcels that make up this lot. The current house is all on one parcel.
All right. Okay. The only other thing I want to say.
This is the whole lot.
Oh, okay.
And here's where the house is. Yeah, we've got 187 feet here, 87 feet here. 150 here, and I think 125 here.
Okay. All right. Yes. When I said a ditch in the front of that house, I meant a ditch in front of that house. You've got to do that. Whether you bury a pipe or whatever, but you've got to have a culvert in front of that house, or I won't vote on it.
All right. Now, if you haven't forgotten your question, you are ready to ask.
All right. I think thank you for being here, for presenting, for being open, and for showing, and for respecting the park, and respecting the trees, and trying very hard to build something that works in harmony. I don't think anybody's opposed to progress, but we are opposed to disharmony and unbalance and imbalance. But here's the question, which may be the elephant in the room, I don't know, but it is for me. You see projects go up, and we know that we have a certain amount of trees that we can take down, and no use speaking ill of the people who have already left the park, but a property takes down way more trees than they said they would. And we all know, and they're gone, and it's fine. But what is the safety in place so that what they say they're going to do, and I know things happen, delays happen, and oh crud, that was there, we didn't know that was there, and you know, things happen. But what happens if, 50% of the trees go down? Oh, well. What are we going to do? You can say you can't do it, but it happens anyway.
Well, it becomes an expensive endeavor. Would you like to speak to that?
So, it is a good point. And so you've got people who just don't care, and then just going to come in, get out, get my money, and go home. And then you've got people who are connected to the trees and like the trees and live across the street. So with that said, there's nothing to keep anybody from going there and desecrating the woods. Mm-hmm. There isn't. It just comes down to integrity and a past track record of what people have already done in Mountain Park. Prior to any construction starting, you put up a tree save. Signs, don't go here, don't go there. When we're in control of the site, what we say is going to come down to us. If there's an issue, we find a dead tree or something else, hey, let's call the arborist. This is what we discovered. What do you want to do with it? There's no need to go in there and take down the trees just for the sake of taking them down. We want to take a limits of disturbance and make it as small as possible and still allow us to work. We don't know what that is yet because we don't know where the house is going to allow to be. So there's insurances from the builders from our standpoint, track record, and making limits of disturbance as small as possible. Again, the inspections, people go on walks, hey, what's going on with cutting down the tree? Call City Hall. It gets very expensive if we start taking down trees outside the limits of disturbance, and if we take trees down that have tree saving, tree protect all over. And then building the next one is an impossible. It's not going to happen. Remember what he did? So his name, reputation, integrity, it's the enforcement issues for Mountain Park, and it's just, hey, we're not here to cut every tree down and make it easy for us. If you think we're going to get an inspection if we just cut down four big trees, that's not going to happen for a long time. It's going to be very expensive endeavor. We're not here to start writing checks.
So city ordinance is 30%, right?
Well, so the city ordinance is actually handled by the DBH. Like we're over double that lot, so they're double. So in theory, I mean, not that we want to, you could cut half a tree down to do it inside the ordinance. And so it's not something we want to do. But that just shows you how much there is there.
We only want to...
All right. Sorry. I didn't. Go ahead. No, you're...
We want to save as many trees as possible, for sure.
You didn't come here to live in a cul-de-sac.
No.
And all three of those people up here live here in Mountain Park, so they, everybody, you know. So. All right, Councilman Murphy would like to comment.
And just, Sarah, to your point, I think it was 3 years ago we had that issue on Cedar where somebody got, that's what we're talking about. So we learned, and the city council actually took ourselves to task, and we changed the code so there was teeth in it. So the issue was we brought that person in, and the judge says, okay, show me your before pictures. What? Can I draw it for you? So we didn't have the proof, but now we have the standards. So if somebody does not adhere to their permit, they will lose in court, and it'll be very expensive.
Unfortunately, you can spend that money in 30 days, but it takes 30 to 50 years to get some of these trees back. So we try to be very diligent on the front end. Yes, ma'am, Pam.
It's Pam on the bluff. You're directly behind me. There's a house in between us, so I appreciate the fact that the house is a bit of an eyesore, is going to be upgraded. The concern, I have two concerns. The first one is, and this may just be my not understanding the process, have you submitted the plan, and has it been approved, or is the variance part first?
So the variance part first. To know what you're allowed.
So what prevents you from deciding I want to build a 3,000 square foot versus a 1,300?
The first is we can't go more than two bedroom.
Excuse me.
We're limited to two bedroom based on our septic permit and just existing.
Okay.
So we can't go any bigger than that.
Well, let's say you just decided you wanted to build something bigger and you got a bigger septic in.
So that'd be the next permit. Would be the building permit would be approved, right?
Yeah, the size of the structure has nothing to do with the septic tank. It's the number of bedrooms in the house. So to your point, sake of transparency, I could have two 10 by 10 bedrooms, and I could have 15 50 foot by 50 foot homes, rooms, offices, if you will. But one of the things that Mountain Park has in place is we have a limitation of height. It's going to be 35 feet average all the way around.
So this is one story. We're talking 13 and
16. I'm just talking in general with the Mountain Park codes. So we can't go up past 35 feet on average all the way around. So you're basically limited to a two-story-ish house, two and a half stories.
Right.
I can't go out wider because we were wanting to go only 1375 as a footprint of the house. So I can't take that 1375 and go out to make it bigger. I can go up to make it bigger, but I can only go up so high. So,
and I'm appreciating what you're saying, Bill, but I'm really addressing the question more to the people that are building the house. Is if they make a decision that they want a bigger home, once the variance has been passed, what prevents that?
I mean, if you
see
the question.
Yeah, Yeah. There's, I mean, there's, in our variance, we're just requesting to get the footprint enlarged.
Right, no, so I understand this, but this is,
sure.
If I'm understanding correctly, this is a variance meeting. This
right.
isn't about
down the road.
The size of the house that's going to be built, right?
Sure.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
So my question is what, when I want to be sensitive to not having a McMansion go into this space, and I talked to them, and they shared with me what they're saying tonight, but I want to know what...
Let me, if I may, I'm going to ask Karen to address that because that's part of what happens when that application is made with the city. Karen?
Correct. Here's what happens typically. Whenever plans are submitted, they're going to check for setbacks, et cetera, and all of the code requirements that we have in place. When they see that it doesn't meet the requirements, they're going to say, does this have a variance? Which I have to send them documentation, the variance packet, as well as the minutes from the council meeting as to what they allow and any conditions that are placed upon that variance.
All right. Thank you. I could have done, I could have explained that, but she does such a bit, so much better job.
Somebody met that out for me. I didn't quite hear
what she said was, is once they put in the application for their building permit, The inspection company is going to look at it and see if the setbacks are met. And when there's anything that doesn't meet the conformity of the requirements, they're going to send it back and request, is there a variance that was approved by council to allow for this, allow for that? So it has to go through the process. It has to meet the either the conformity of the current existing ordinances, or it has to have the variance with whatever conditions for any non-conformity.
Okay, so if I understand that, if you chose to add another 600 square feet, you would have to go back to another variance meeting.
Yes, it would change the complete dynamics of everything that had been approved up to that point.
And as a worst case, I'm sorry, as a worst case scenario, if you went to a two-story house, the largest that house could be round numbers, 2,600 feet. So you're not looking at a 6,000, 7,000.
Even if it was...
Even if you
two
stories.
Right. And your intention is to build a one-story house at around 1,300. Is that what I'm hearing?
It's
we're not really sure.
It's the footprint that we're
the footprint, but like we're not looking to build a mansion.
Right. I trust that.
They just want to meet the 1,350 square feet minimum.
Whether it's a one-story or a 1.5-story, we don't know. We can't fit this time because we don't know what we can build.
The new septic tank that you're putting in. To not replace, you're going to leave the old septic tank there and put in a new septic tank. What will it hold? You mentioned two bedrooms, but as I know, you have to have drainage bill to add more bedrooms. Will this septic drain? No, but I mean, to answer Pam's question for down the road, would this septic tank that you're putting in allow more bedrooms to be added on?
No, we can't do more than two bedrooms.
You can't do two bedrooms, period, with the capacity of the septic tank that's going to be put in.
Right. Two bedrooms, all that's not.
Exactly.
That's all we can put in.
All right.
That defines where you're at.
Did that clarify your question?
Yes, thank you. But I have a second question, and that's more to the city, which is there's a lot of activity going on in that neck of the woods right now with other sites coming up, other builds perhaps coming up. And the infrastructure on our roads and all of that, is there a traffic cop in the city that says we can only build so many houses in a certain area? Because if all of the houses that I've heard rumors about are going to be built at Westlake and Lakeshore and...
Item number 6 on the agenda, so we're going to be talking about the issue. Yes, that is part of our discussion because of the number of bills that we've got coming up or that are being contemplated.
Yeah.
The city is going to look at, the council is going to look at how to address issues with the parking, which we've talked about tonight, and how we will manage logistically that many projects taking place in the city at one time. So there is some thought and some contemplation in taking place on how to address these.
That's fabulous. And so is there a entity or a group in place right now that does traffic control on the number of buildings?
City Hall. City Hall. It all flows through City Hall. So Karen, you want to speak to that?
I can't understand what she said.
She's wanting to know how we control of the flow of all the building permits and processes that are taking place. Are anticipated to take place in the city. And I said it goes through City Hall.
I really still don't, I mean, I heard you, but I don't quite understand the nature of the question. It's all managed through a software program that, you know, I put information into and SafeBuilt puts information into. So I'm not quite sure exactly what the question
her concern was.
I'm going to ask it a different way. Yeah. Is there a limit to the number of houses that can be built in a certain area in Mountain Park at one time?
No, there is not.
There currently is not.
So if you got building permits for five homes in my little corner of the wood, they could all go up at once?
If nothing is changed by council to prevent that, legally they could. But that is what I said. We're in the process of discussing how we can manage the logistics of having multiple bills taking place, especially in a concentrated area. We don't have the streets and the parking and all the stuff that goes along with that. And that's a concern for these folks up here as well as for the folks sitting out here in the audience.
Does that include stormwater studies?
I am sure that stormwater is going to be a serious consideration now that we've got the money, that we're going to be trying to address those type of issues as well. All right, we have got questions from this lady here, and there was somebody else, and then that gentleman in the back, so you're next.
So, Mark, I want to tell you that I respect what you're saying. I absolutely see we're all staring down taxes, and we do not want to be, you know, against builders, and, you know, you're saying this would be the one-time thing that you could say, that, oh, they were encroaching on the property. And so, but my question is it sounds, I think she has a really valid point, Crystal does, about precedent. And my question is, which I think has already been answered, do you all have written permission from the neighbor that you are encroaching on? So at the end of the day, the variance. My whole thing was that if, you know, one of the good reasons to say if it's a precedent, well, the neighbor said it didn't bother them. I'm sure they are grateful, trust me. I mean, you know, but okay. Because I don't want to see an anti builder.
Yeah, we have a printed an email from her.
So you guys already spoke to the neighbor. They're like grateful, they're thankful, and y'all have permission to encroach on them. Yes. Y'all did this in a nice way.
To get it back, she's happy we're actually getting it back to normal. We're really just fixing a problem that's been
there. Oh, no, I'm all for it.
So she was very grateful.
I just love precedent. She has a really good point. It's a very valid point.
All right. All right, I don't know, there was another, I don't know, was that young lady there? Did somebody else have their hand up? But if not, Mr. McLaughlin, you were next.
Two points. One, the CRAB committee took a quick look at this, and when we look at it, we're just looking at it just from the ordinance standpoint. What does the city code say? And so Crystal's point about, you know, there's a 20-foot setback on the south side, and you're asking for a zero setback. One of the issues with the zero setback is it creates a hardship for if someone ever, next year, 5 years, 10 years from now, wants to build on the adjacent lot, it's created a hardship for them that they may not be able to recover from, or it could be difficult. And there's been a lot of talk about drainage. And if you're at a zero lot line point, it's difficult for you to and Bill, you know this better than anybody at doing Linda's house. It's difficult to address your drainage if you've got no place to address it. So the minimum, or excuse me, the standard is a 20-foot side setback, and we recommend a 10-foot setback. That being said, the first half of this conversation was about the trees on the north side of the house, and so. You know, a variance is all about compromise, and so it's going to take probably multiple site meetings to figure out how to increase the setback from zero and how to save trees. But anyway, our recommendation was to go with a 10-foot setback over there. And then the other variance that you need is that the ordinance 117-6 says that you've got to have a 3/4 acre lot for a septic system, and you've got a 1/2 acre lot, so you want to ask for a variance to make your lot conforming. It's a non-conforming lot, and it,
Okay, so John, I appreciate your input, and you and I both know that a building built on the property land is impossible. And forgetting the construction aspect of it, which we have permission to tear down and get on the property to construct, from a maintenance standpoint, it's a nightmare. So when we requested the zero setback, we don't have intentions of putting that corner, that carport, or the garage right on the property line. We need to allow some room to paint, some room to clean the gutter out, some room to maintain. To your point, with that, I thoroughly agree. Zero, actually built on the property line, zero, it's a nightmare. So that's really not our intent. We just wanted to be able to get that house as close over as we could to try to preserve two more heritage trees that are 36-inch plus, or 34-inch plus. With regards to the septic tank, one of the things that we're grandfathered in, the term grandfathered is very elusive, as you know, we have an existing septic system, regardless of the lot size, so it doesn't really matter the three-quarter. Fulton County Sewer, they hold the trump cards, they overrule everything, and they've already come out, they've got the permit in hand of where we plan on putting things. So while I'm cognizant up to the half acre to 1 acre, typically it's 1 acre in Fulton County, unless you can start doing miser systems and things like that. We're not doing that. There's no need to do that. Soils engineer said we park incredibly well. That's why I'm not so concerned about the extra impervious surface. And we also have the septic tank and the lines that will park as well. So while if it was a brand new build, we couldn't build anything on this lot. It's too small. It's less than an acre in Fulton County's eyes. So that's a good point, which also brings me to the hardship for the neighbor next door. Under current conditions, within Mountain Park, unbuildable. The big issue there is the size of the lot for a septic tank. The only way that you can get sanitary sewer to this lot is if somebody runs a sewer line through. Fulton County absolutely, under no circumstances, will allow anything less than an acre to have a septic tank. Those three lots combined, less than an acre.
John?
All right.
You brought up a good point. I don't know why I didn't think of this. They have to buy property from that neighbor. You cannot do a feel-good, shake hands. This is something that has to be ready for the next owner down the road. So have you tried to buy some property from the next door neighbor so you can do this right?
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to move it off.
You're trying to buy property?
No, we're trying to move it off.
We're trying to move our house off the property so it's not an issue. It's been a 25-year issue that's kind of...
It's still an issue, though, when you're over the property line.
But that's what we're trying to fix.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do, is to get it back on his side.
Explain what I'm trying to say. They have to buy this property to make this.
No, property. Linda, they're trying to move it onto their property and off of the neighbor's property. They want them to shift the house further onto their property.
Do that.
Well, that's the whole purpose of these meetings.
Well, I understood there was a shake hand, good face for down the road. And that's not going to work.
The handshake was, hey, you're doing me a favor by clearing this wall off my property, so when I do sell it, so they're allowing us to tear that wall down.
Where we're putting several lot
buildings. So does the wall give you enough room?
With the
wall standing in the way.
We're trying to get to as small a setback as we can all.
You know I work for Fulton County.
All right. John, I have a question for you. Since you're on grab, and I was going to read this, but I will ask you if you would like to go ahead and finish giving Crabb's recommendations to council.
One way to deal with the encroachment on the south side would be to get an easement from the adjacent property owner. I think in your cover letter, you said there's some issues with the death in the family or something, or it's out on the other side.
It's been a very long road to travel. We just literally 3 days ago got a letter from the owner saying, hey, this would be great. We're going to have agreed to pay for the removal of the wall that's fallen. We've agreed to remove all the concrete, carport, walls, everything off of her property, reducing the liability because that's getting ready to fall, in our opinion, our engineer's opinion. Mm-hmm. We have some clean-out done, some resketching of the land, and we're basically taking all of her liabilities, we're taking the liabilities that we see that exist behind the property line, And at our expense, we are correcting that problem in exchange for letting us go onto her property to remove those so we don't have to worry about a wall falling on some child playing in the new driveway.
So you're going to take the retaining wall down?
We're going to do something with it. We can see an old wall that's getting ready to fall over next to a brand new structure on top of a brand new driveway.
Right. But so, again, so that you know that you want to have something in writing.
Oh, absolutely. We've got the, hey, you've got my permission, Greg. We can formalize that through a clinical, legal, temporary construction easement. But that's something that we're just going to work with. But we do have permission to do that with that.
Well, it may be, you know, a permanent easement if you're going to be able to address all the drainage issues down the road. It's really a matter of standing at the site and figuring out what the priorities are.
Exactly.
In Fulton County, the health department is 1 acre. Mountain Park's the odd man out with this 3 quarters of an acre thing. But the, by giving you a permit and stamping your plans, that's the health department's way of granting variance. So they're approving it on less than a full-size site.
They're approved on half an acre site, yes.
Right. But that's where you get the approval from. And that's where you get their variance.
That's right.
And they don't give them away very easily.
No, they do not. It was
a long journey. That's not surprising to me that they approved that.
Well, that's Fulton County's call. That's...
Like you said, they don't give them away, so what will that set the precedent?
Well, actually, what they're doing is Fulton County Health Department looks at residents like that and goes, there's no way that thing has a septic system that is healthy and safe. And they're offering to tear out the old septic system and put in a new healthy one. So Fulton County's...
That's the compromise.
They're doing a public service. There are so many septic systems in Mountain Park that need to be repaired, slowly one by one. This is how that will be done.
And again, we're not removing the old system just because we're trying to keep the integrity of the trees around it.
The old system is, whatever it is, whether it's a 55-gallon drum or whether it's a concrete tank, it's an organic system. That's what septic systems are.
Exactly.
So they rot and deteriorate. It's not a problem. Some of the other odds and ends that we came up with, the ordinance 117-4 says that when an existing structure is demolished, you've got a year to replace it. And you guys, you've already said you're going to do that. Karen's got a copy of this.
Right.
The city council members all have a copy of this, and we have it on file at City Hall along with any other objections or complaints or, our support for this project. So you're welcome to see what other neighbors as well as the CRAB members have.
Carol.
Hold on a second.
You guys on the spot, and I apologize for putting you on.
We'll let John finish, then you, Carol. There.
But can you make the footprint smaller? Do a story and a half, do a two-story instead of a range.
So we have not come here specifically to say we want a one-story house, 1,375 square feet. We want to be able to go up to 1,375, so if the decision is made depending where the house sits, we can go a one-story, we can go a two-story, or we can go less than 13. Just because we're approved for 1,375 doesn't mean we have to build it. I assume we don't have to refile a variance if we want to build a smaller footprint. I assume we don't have to. So we're trying to get the maximum just so it gives us more flexibility in case a 10-foot setback is what we get, in case a 0 setback, or in case a 20-foot setback. So we're kind of dealing with a bunch of unknowns, and once we know what the unknowns are, then we can kind of finalize that and say, hey, this is good. We've just got some wonderful ideas for a two-story. We've got some wonderful ideas for a one-story. We've got wonderful ideas for a story and a half. So we're kind of prepared for whatever we can all mutually agree upon as a result of the variance.
All right. Carol has a comment. Carol, you want to go ahead and unmute yourself?
Yeah, I just have comments. I was just observing that the proposed driveway and turnaround space is way bigger than the house. We could actually reduce the size of that, it seems like. I'm just pointing that out. It's a really big driveway and turnaround. The second thing I wanted to point out was what Julia Neal and Dan Roses had sent, that we are violating the code, section 117-4, by approving a non-conforming use for a non-conforming use. Just pointing that out. Having a zero setback on the south side of the property is going to set the city up to increase density down the road. That matters. I think it matters to a lot of people. And every single tree, all seven trees, they're cited on the tree survey as being potentially dangerous, potential damage, could potentially be a danger. None of those seven trees are actually in direct path of the construction. I understand Mr. Kohlbrenner saying it's best practices. I have got trees around my house. One of them, we've cut part of the ceiling out so the tree can keep growing. So I'm just wondering, you know, if it were an option to not cut the trees down until it was obvious, like an arborist comes out and says, yes, this tree is dying, it needs to go. I hate to see a tree that has a 93-inch circumference getting cut down because it's potentially a danger. That's all I'm saying, just a comment.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so let me try to address those comments one by one as I recalled. And Carol, if you'd be so kind as to, if I don't address a comment that you've made, I'm not trying to ignore it, I just didn't remember it.
All right, Bill, pull you, come up this way so she can see you.
Okay.
And Carol, you unmute yourself if you have any questions.
So Carol, I just want to be clear that what we're interpreting, that this...
Tilt it more this way because it's a glare. There you go.
Can you see it better?
Which diagram are you currently looking at?
Proposed footprint.
Okay, let me get to it. Got it.
Okay. So the proposed footprint, if you see the concrete surface that's on the south side of the property, that all goes away. So this looks extremely like a bunch of concrete because literally from here up is what we're doing. This from here down is what we're doing away with. So the increase in the concrete surface comes from this turnaround so that we can have a car pull in, back up, and go out. I agree with you. This could probably be a little bit smaller, maybe 10, 15 feet. I don't really know. Again, it was just a, let's put some lines on some paper to see what we're trying to get. So
please
with,
do.
So,
that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So with regards to, there was a comment in there that we're going to be increasing the density. What was the comment regarding the density, if we're allowed this variance?
Setting the setback to zero just sort of sets a precedent. I think Crystal Nodder might have addressed that.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I heard the word density, an increase in density.
Building density.
Talking about throughout the city.
Okay. Oh, throughout the city. Okay. So regardless of what happens in the city, that's not what I'm here for today. But with regards to the building density on this lot, we're neither increasing it or decreasing it. We have a one house there existing. We're putting back one house. We're not putting two houses up, which would be increasing density. So with regards to the trees and the proposed danger of the trees, again, we've met with the city arborist, and we mutually agreed to hire a third-party arborist. And at that point in time, both arborists said, these trees won't survive the demolition process. I can't stand here and say this tree is definitely guaranteed 100% going to die, or I can't stand here and say this tree is 100% going to make it. I can't do that. I can't see the future. I don't know what's going to happen during the demolition and during the construction. I put my faith and efforts into two qualified arborists, one that works for Mountain Park or works with Mountain Park, and a third-party arborist. And they both have all said the same thing. The demolition is going to be an impact. Put that on top of the new construction, that's going to be an impact. So there are no guarantees. I've seen trees survive incredibly. At my house, I had a tree that everyone said is going to die, and it's made it. I had a tree that, hey, this is good. We spent a lot of money fertilizing the roots, doing the best pest management. We put up extra fence. We did everything we could to that tree. It died a year later. So there are no guarantees with that. That's why we go refer ourselves to arborists, outside and the city arborists. What else did you address that I haven't
What else did you mention that I haven't addressed?
The non-conforming lot to a non-conforming lot, okay. 117-4.
Okay, so Mountain Park is Mountain Park, and I say that with as much affection as I can muster up, because it seems that Mountain Park has more anomalies than regularities, and that's just because of the history of Mountain Park. So with regards to conforming and non-conforming, we're attempting to write something that's been allowed to exist for over 25 years. We just simply want to get this house and this driveway off the neighbor's property. Whether it's conforming or non-conforming, it's the right thing to do. I can certainly go back and put back exactly what it is, and if I do that, I'm 11 feet, which is against the code. I can certainly do that and increase it, and everyone's concerned, and I am too, with regard to the trees. I can take this house and put it anywhere I want to at the expense of more specimen trees. So we're very cognizant as to why we purposely put this house here as a variance request. So it's an unfortunate situation, and we're trying to figure out the best way that we can all work through it to do the best thing by us as the Cornets, as the owners, the city, and the neighbors. We have a screwed up situation. Let's undo it. Let's make it correct.
All right.
What else was there?
I think that was it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any more questions by council? Yes.
Yes. Bill.
Yes.
Come here. I don't understand. Does that just have to stay that way and encroach? Why can't you build it over here?
I'm happy to build over here at the expense of more trees, which we're trying to avoid.
Who owns this property?
What's yours?
It's an on property. It's in power attorney, second generation beyond.
Okay, you just cannot do this. I won't look for it. Fulton County wouldn't let you do it.
Let me do what? I'm sorry. I'm lost.
John's saying that you need to buy property to get your, so you're not encroaching, to get your bear, to get the property you need from the house, or you go ahead.
Linda, we're trying to move the property, move the house off of this property.
They don't need to buy anything. They're moving the structures that are currently on somebody else's property onto their property.
Y'all are right. Impossible. That's what I think I figured out. Okay. Yeah,
I am smiling when I say that.
It's like John says, we just can't set a precedent.
Simply removing their house off of their neighbor's property. That's in a nutshell.
By how many feet?
I understand that.
15. So the 15 feet that's being moved off of a neighboring's property will then now border on the, no.
We're pulling off the property 15 feet to get to zero.
Right now we're negative. So if you're just going to remove that wall to be away from their property.
Off their property.
Off their property. To be in within 20.
And the car.
And the right way.
Here's the line you're here. Yeah. Trying to.
We're just trying to move it over.
Yeah. It's that retaining wall.
Yeah.
No, the retaining wall is actually
on their property.
So you go by, we have a long piece of tape running down the property. Got it. You see, it goes right through the middle of the carport.
All right. Does anyone else on council have any questions? I won't ask that again. Yes, go ahead. You're still what? Wait a minute. Bill, hang on, Bill.
I'm still wondering, Bill.
Hold on. She left, then I'll let you go in.
So why should we let this happen? Fulton County will not allow this. Why aren't you moving the house to the center? Why aren't you moving it away from the property line? So you can get your right setback.
I am happy to put it in the center. Would love to put it in the center. However, to put it in the center of the property so that you have wonderful purple field, in my humble opinion, I'm ripping the hell out of all those trees.
Well, let me tell you something. And that's what everybody else does. And you cannot build it like you're trying to build it.
Okay.
I think there's a disconnect here.
Linda, you will vote your conscience on Monday, so that's where she will. Right. Well, we'll talk about it afterwards. So, Lloyd, Councilman Hendricks, you're next, and then you.
I like what you presented. My one question is, did you look at it with
moving it 25 feet, giving you a 10-foot buffer, and what that impact would be?
Yes, we did.
And how much more tree problem comes into that?
The two biggest trees on a lot would then be sacrificed.
The two biggest ones?
The two biggest. They're
the two we're talking about.
Okay. But you are so far above the minimum requirement. This is just an attempt to save those two, but not going that far?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So in the guidelines, we have more than double the trees that are needed.
But, just having a buffer, even if it's only 10 feet, seems like it would be a good idea because of the contour. Because looking at the pictures of this thing, their property is up here and you're down here. Something's going to have to be done to keep all that from washing right across.
If I may avoid this wall that's here,
yeah.
We are definitely going to have to remove that wall, go back in so that the toe remains where it is, and then dig back to remove that to put a gentle slope on it for erosion control and for stability. So yes, it's an engineering issue and it's something that needs to be addressed.
You don't think you're going to have to cut the drain to put that back towards the tree?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
You don't think you'll have to put a drain in and run that back towards the tree?
I don't think so, because we have the top of the slope, the toe of the slope, and then we'll have a green space and the concrete's gone.
Right.
So we should have enough absorption rate into it, I would think. And in the worst case scenario, we'll have the soils guy take a look at it and say, hey, put a French drain in here. I don't really know. Unfortunately, we're at the situation when it goes back to the footprint and the size of one story, two story. We don't know what's going to be agreed upon. So that's why we're trying to remain as flexible as possible.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. Councilman Carlson had his hand up next. And then I think Councilperson Dixon did have another question. And then you, Councilman.
We've really done the best job to try to preserve as many trees as possible. So I commend you for doing this job.
Is that it? Yes. All right. Councilperson Dixon and then Councilperson Murphy.
I will say it one more time. I'm a tree hugger too. Everybody knows that. I love ivy, I love trees. You have got to build this house correctly. If you have to take down two specimen trees, you have to. You cannot build the house the way you're trying to build it. I will not vote for it, and it's not right, and John told you it's not right. You're encroaching, you can't continue to encroach, shake hands, and that's okay. The house has to go over more.
Okay, all right. So if
I understand.
With all due respect, John, did I misinterpret something? Is there...
No, I say your issues are drainage on the south side, trees on the north side. Both of them are critically important to the construction process and finished product and all the neighbors. And it's going to require some meetings and some compromise. On site.
Sure. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure, because Linda had said that you disagreed with that.
And
I just wanted to clarify
Claire talked about the drainage on that side, and y'all addressed that issue. You spent 10 minutes talking about where the drainage was going to go. And sometimes a site visit is the best thing to do, because then, a picture's worth 1,000 words.
Which we could have available at any time.
Well, I'm saying we just cannot set a precedent. If it won't work in Fulton County, it can't work in Mountain Park. But so the house has to go over. You're going to have to take.
It has to go over.
Take trees.
Hang on. Listen, Linda.
We'll talk more about it.
Okay. Yes, we will. Councilman Murphy.
We have a trade-off, as I see.
Okay.
We can either say the easiest thing for the council to do would be say, screw it, we're going to adhere to our 10-foot setbacks.
20-foot.
And, I'm sorry,
20-foot.
20-foot setbacks and kill whatever you need to kill, because you've got plenty of trees. However, the way I read it, Mountain Parkers, is that we don't want to kill trees, and that there seems to be some legitimacy about the precedent behind this, that it would be preferable to grant you guys a variance on the setback if we can save trees that would take another 8 years to grow. So that's a kind of, I think those are two issues. Either we allow the zero setback and save trees, or we don't, and we don't get into any slippery slopes on precedence.
All right. Now, this lady over here was next, and then that lady back there is next. So
I was just curious, since that property
before you pass out, pull your mask down. I know you have a hard time talking with that mask on.
Since the property to the, if you're standing in front of the house, the left, the property that, you know, that one, that lot is so small, no one's ever going to be able to build on that particular lot. And since it's been this way for 25 years, there's a thing called prescription easements. So the fact that they're telling you, oh, just go ahead, yay, we're happy, it's a prescriptive easement the way it is right now. And they can't stop you because it's been way over the amount of time. I'm not sure in Georgia what it actually is, but there is such a thing as a prescriptive easement, and that's what's going on there.
So you're recommending they look into that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, to me, you know, the fact that this person who is, it's in probate and all this, that they wouldn't want to, you know, go ahead and sell it is really odd, because it is not going to do anything. There, no one can ever build in there, in that little bit of space in that particular lot. Not only that, but it's a prescriptive easement. What's going on with the driveway, with the carport, with the wall? That's all a prescriptive easement that has been there for many years. I'm not saying that it's not an eyesore. Yeah, it's an eyesore. But you're going to take down that wall, and there's absolutely no amount of, you know, you guys haven't lived here back in, I think it was, 2010 or something like that, when we had that huge, huge flood?
2009.
Well, let me tell you, that almost wiped out my house. So that whole side, there has got to be some kind of study done for what it's going to do to my property. And not my, just my house. With, I would love for some of those trees to stay. But when you take out the 7 trees, then the wind's not going to hit those 7 trees. They're going to hit the 2 that are closest to my house and come down on my vehicle, my house, or whatever, because you're taking down the other trees that block some of the wind. So it's the trees. Yeah, that's a great thing. Oh, that's a great survey. But when you take down some trees, you also have to deal with the fact that the other trees that have been standing there forever that are now not protected from the other trees. The whole reason that they've grown so big is because they've been protected by the other trees. You know, like in, so that's one issue. The issue is the prescriptive easement, and the other issue is the drainage. I cannot allow this to go on with all this drainage and all this construction and then talking about parking across the street on my property. No. And there's a fire. There's he said it. Bill said it. And that easement on my property is something the city did 50 years ago.
Okay.
So that has to be addressed.
All right.
And that's duly what noted. I'm saying.
All right. Thank you. Now the lady in the back.
Can we address it?
Well, yeah. Hang on, Crystal. Yeah. If you'd like to.
I just wanted to clear up first.
Wait. Time out. Let him address this first. He wanted to comment on that.
So, okay. With regards to prescriptive easements, yes, we probably have a good case for prescriptive easement. It's a time issue. It's, do we need to get a prescriptive easement? Because we have a solution for the problem. It's not like we're trying to keep the existing everything there. We're trying to get everything off of her property. So there's really no need to go through the prescriptive easement and take this person's property from her, in our opinion.
Well, that's it. Tell her there's a prescriptive easement. Give her a little bit of money and you're done.
Okay, again, we're not in that position to do that because we don't have the need to do that. With regards to parking, I don't believe I ever once said that we were going to...
Yes, you did. You said we will be parking across the street.
At his house. At his house.
Never mind.
Well,
you can't park on both sides.
Okay.
Here.
Only park on one side.
Huh? In your driveway.
Well,
yeah,
did you see
the parking?
Yeah,
here.
Alright, do you have any more questions before we move on? Crystal?
Yeah, so to answer Councilman Dixon's comment on the specimen trees, from what I saw, the 2 specimen trees, and specimen trees are counted by the caliber of the diameter of the tree. The 2 specimen trees are already ingrown on, from what I'm seeing, on on the foundation of what's there. So I can see how that would be taken down. I mean, I can see. If you could save the one specimen tree, that's like what Council Silver said, 96 circumference, that would be awesome, because as high as the tree grows up, it grows out. And there's no one to say that that tree still can't survive, okay? So it's possible that one of the trees could still survive. In the comment that you had over here about the grouping of trees and how it affects if you take more grouping of trees down, then you affect the wind, you affect the soil. I mean, there's like a whole host of things, as you know, and I'm gathering that a group of those trees would be taken down to accommodate the septic tank, correct?
First of all, it's the demolition.
Demolition
is the first kind of strike against the survival of the tree. The second strike against the tree is the new construction.
So I understand. Okay, so my point
is, I understand. All right, folks, we want to be able to hear everybody's comments. So.
I guess you were in the restroom, so coming back. So basically, I said is I understood why at least one of those specimens.
I'm recording it. I got it. Go ahead.
Okay, would be taken down because it's already encroaching upon the foundation of the existing house. The second specimen tree, there's no one to say that it could not or could be taken down. You could leave it up, but as you were saying before, the grouping of the trees, when you take down a grouping of the trees, it does affect the environment. When you wipe down trees, it affects. We're on a downside, we're on a hill, you're moving. But my other concern would be what Councilwoman Silver brought up was the pavement. I did not realize until she brought this up, the parking space.
It's basically the same. It is now. It's slightly smaller.
It's not bigger than what is there.
No, we're moving it over.
Well, because of the turnaround, which I discussed the turnaround.
So that would be my other concern, and only because of drainage. Right. We would all love a turnaround parking space. Oh my God. Would I not love that with teenage drivers? Absolutely. But I'm just saying, you know, when we have now solid cement off of a road, now we have drainage. I can understand your point. I get it.
Well, I think the compromise was that you were considering reducing the size. They're going to reduce the size. They're going to look at reducing that size.
So
that
said,
the big issue with the tree, the one in the front, the big issue there is it's literally 7 feet from the existing house. Those roots are up underneath the existing foundation.
Right, I saw those pictures.
So what my concerns are, if we go through and we remove the house for demolition purposes, you can imagine the tree and the root base. Now all of a sudden, this whole side of the tree's root structures, its ability to grab it hold, is gone. Hey, the tree made it. We done with the house. Look how green it is. Big wind. Now, with regards to taking down trees, all of a sudden they're in the front of the wind. I can't say that I'm not educated enough. I'm not an arborist.
Let me make one comment on the record, which is why Mountain Park needs a paid arborist.
All right, duly noted.
We do not need duly a noted. Volunteer okay. arborist.
If I can finish addressing your point.
Yeah, thank you. I want that recorded.
I can't sit here and say, yes, if we remove those trees, we weaken this one. I'm not the arborist. Our arborist has indicated it's really a non-issue with what the conditions are. So, again, if you're an arborist and you've got that education, hey, let's talk. You're not going to learn something, but I can't make that statement. I just go by our third-party arborist and what they say.
All right, thank you. Councilman Murphy, you had your hand up, and then Councilman Person.
Yeah, I think we're on a slippery slope. These guys have gone through the paces. Their house meets or exceeds to the positive Mountain Park specs. There's three items we need to vote on. We cannot start adding new code in here. We're not going to do wind analysis for somebody's house. We're not going to. I mean, the fact is, if we're saying, hey, here's our hurdle rate, and oh, by the way, I want to add this on, I want to add this on, the tree's purple, I want it to stay. I mean, we can't do that, because otherwise nobody will ever want to build in our community. So we need to be cognizant of that.
All right, thank you. Councilperson Dixon.
All right, I'm going to say, if everybody hears me, I'm going to say one more time. I learned a lot with Fulton County. We cannot try to save specimen trees and build a house to encroach
the Tammy, they can't hear her.
The house has to be moved. If trees have to go down, they have to go down. That's the way they do in Fulton County. Why does Mountain Park do silly stuff like that? You don't ever encroach on property. Either you buy more property, this property she's talking about is next door, or you take down the trees and move the house over. It's got to be built. I will not vote on it if it's not built to spec.
All right, okay. Duly noted.
Duly noted.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just want to make one comment.
Yes.
Every one of us lives in a house, right? 600. What was the tree that that house sat? It may have been a specimen tree. So, if it works out where you do have the variance that you need with the 20-foot setback and you have to take two trees down, that's a great compromise to me.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
Especially since
because I think everybody here. Where your house stood, a tree stood. Yeah. We're just doing a big deal. An emotional reaction to something. We want people to build here. You all have your homes. I have my home. I built here. I took quite a few trees down. But I had to. But let me tell you, 25 years, it all fell over. So, he's a property owner. You're all property owners. Give them a chance to have what we have, to build that home, to take down as few trees as possible, and enjoy what we enjoy. I don't think he's going to raise the land, are you? Are you going to raise this?
All right. Okay. Thank you. All right, this gentleman back here has his hand up. Yes.
Is this 450 foot wide?
Not quite. It's 183 total.
Okay. So if this house is right on the property line, could another house be built on those other two lots?
No.
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 We'll be able to get a septic tank.
Wouldn't be enough square footage for the septic system. So. All right. I think everyone's had an opportunity to speak their mind, ask their questions, or give their explanations. Is there anything else from council? Council has all the information, including all the emails and documentation from neighbors for and against. We've also got your letters of support and or detraction from the variances. There are three variances council will be voting on, and we will address this Monday night. Yes.
If this is proper, great.
Well, tell me what it is first. I just need to know what you're going to do.
You know why I can't come around. We have the ability to meet and discuss. Give us a call. You want to walk and look at it. I don't know if that's appropriate for council to come out.
It is.
Isn't. So just let us know. We're happy to meet you out there. Ben lives across the street. I live right over here.
I love it.
Just let us know.
All we ask is that you do not. Karen, you unmute yourself. I have a question. Would it be inappropriate for three or more council members to meet at that property site and take a look at what they're discussing, or should it be done without a quorum?
It needs to be done without a quorum, so a quorum constitutes
three.
Two and three council members, or your mayor pro tem and three council members.
So in other words, if mayor pro tem or myself are not there with three council members, it's okay?
Yes.
Okay, did you get that?
You're out.
Mark.
And that goes
I will not be there as well.
All right. So if there are council members, Carol, can you hear me? All right, folks, listen to me. So if there are council members that would like to meet over at that property, especially this weekend if the weather's going to be nice, and take a look, please feel free to do so.
Are you serving food and beer?
No. Okay. All right, if there's nothing else for the variance hearing is over. Thank you, folks, for your patience. We still have one more item.
And thank you, everyone, for your time.
Yes, we have one more item for the hearing. All right. And I appreciate everybody's cooperation. Now, the final topic is discussion of construction, parking, and parking in general. I'm going to ask the city administrator to please give her overview of this before we start the discussion.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, can council hear me?
Can you council hear me?
Okay. I just need to explain that the biggest hurdle whenever we do construction project is usually 90% of the time the complaints are around parking issues. So, you know, having been the court clerk as well and knowing how Judge Levinson operates, he kind of wants our ordinances to be very clear and not open to any interpretation. We've seen that time and time again in front of the judge. So I'm coming to you asking that you read through the ordinance. I couldn't find anything in the ordinance relating to construction project parking. We do have, I found the temporary parking and places that you can't park, unpaved surfaces, etc. The thing about it is with a construction project is we've all been there, theoretically. You might not have built your house, but somebody else did. And so you have to kind of step back and look at it from the perspective that you or your house was an inconvenience to someone else when it was being built. So with that sort of objectivity in mind, City Hall always has to kind of juggle the parking issues that keep coming up. So I would ask that you look at the current ordinance. If it's not in the ordinance, I would ask that you consider putting something in that's very clear. We now have code enforcement, as everybody knows, and it's great to be able to call him up or shoot an email to him, and he's out, you know, addressing the issue that day instead of a day or a week later, as in previous cases. And also, I would look at the temporary parking because it states that temporary parking permits are issued for 24 hours. Well, it doesn't put a cap on the number of 24-hour periods. So while I realize it's the duty of City Hall to field complaints, it's very frustrating if I don't have an ordinance that's not very clear that allows me to do something about that complaint. It's just extremely frustrating and can cripple City Hall if we're just doing nothing but listen to people complain, but I don't have anything to enforce. Now that we've got the enforcement, I'd like for the ordinances to be tightened up a bit so that we don't have this issue every time a home's being built. And I particularly see it as an issue coming up. I know that, you know, there's going to be several homes being built. I've got a pending new build right now over on Beach Street. So that's what I would ask of you to consider and bring back maybe for a first read at the next work session. If there's a majority of you guys that would be willing to look through the ordinance and, you know, I'll be happy to give you further input, but I would ask that you consider looking at that and bring it back to the next work session for a first read.
Okay.
Okay, Carol, okay. And I'll do that.
All right, we will all, everyone can look it up. Look under reserved parking. And where else did you say you looked?
Well, I looked in
restricted parking.
When it talked about construction.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe the answer to that is requiring adequate parking pads to be temporarily placed on the property. Maybe that's the answer.
Okay.
Not sure, but right now it's a real gray area, and I've always tried to balance it, but quite honestly, perhaps didn't do the best job the past go-around. So that's why I'm asking for council's help.
All right. Also, have we looked into, or have you looked had an opportunity to look into any other municipalities' current ordinances regarding construction, parking, and things of that nature, or is this so unique to Mountain Park that we really don't have anything out there to model it after?
You know, I could spend the time and effort to look, but we are unique. Our roads are narrow. We have issues that no other cities have with regard to that.
Okay,
so,
that's what I thought.
But I'm happy to look at it if you'd like for me to.
Well, that would just get Jennifer to see if she can peruse a couple and see if there's anything, especially for smaller cities. Councilperson.
Tomorrow, I've got plenty of time.
Okay. Councilperson Silver has her hand up, and then Councilperson Clausen, and then the lady in the front row. So, Carol, you're on.
The first thing I would point to is in the building permit packet, there is a form called the contractors/homeowners affidavit. It simply states that the name of this person and their company name has received a copy of the city's ordinance in relation to the parking of vehicles. Said ordinance states that if I'm found in violation, a citation will be issued, so on and so forth. It is the contractors and homeowners' sole responsibility to notify all workers they will be cited. So it seems to me that anybody who starts construction, private homeowner, somebody who's moving in, or a contractor who signs this document understands that we have issues. Now, I did look at other ordinances in other cities. Most of them state that all construction traffic has to be parked off the street. The problem with of Mountain Park is that our streets are too narrow. We've got to figure this out because you can't have a parking on the street. It's going to be blocking it. I like Mayor Still's proposal that we make accommodations on the construction site to park it there. We got to fix it. I agree with Karen because this affidavit basically states that the rules are understood and everybody knows the streets are too narrow to have a lot of construction traffic parked up and down the road. That's it. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you. Councilperson Carlson.
Look through the ordinance and write in what he'd like to see to have it clear.
Say again?
Have Whit.
We would probably want to get Witt's input, the code enforcement officer also, because he's the one that has to stand up in front of the judge and sell these citations, so we'll get his input as well. You and then someone in the back.
I would like y'all to also talk to LEO about how you come up with this. For instance, the camper that's parked on Lakeshore, it's my understanding from a fire person, the fire truck must back down that road. So by allowing that totally legal permitted parking there, you're actually making it so the fire truck can't back down that road. So I think if you're going to look at this and make it something you're going to ticket, and like she referenced how you're going to do the permits, to find out how fire trucks get to our houses. You know, if you can't get to Lakeshore because you permitted someone to park there, that kind of defeats the entire purpose of doing it. So I would like to encourage you guys to reach out and find out how services come to our home also.
That's why I want Lit to do it.
Yeah.
Somebody can file for a parking permit. It's not realistic.
That camper's been there for a month. So no fire truck can get to any of those houses for a month, but it's there legally.
All right. Who was next back there? I saw another hand up. Hi. Sarah? Yes.
You're going to discuss this after tonight again?
Yes.
Okay. You know my particular situation? Of where we live, like we're here, here's construction,
yes.
We have actually no egress from our driveway if these all happen at once. And I mean, heck, I'm going to want to build someday too, okay? I'm not against anybody and everything. I'm just, maybe timing, is there a way to schedule things?
Well, that's what we're going to have to look into because this is the perfect storm. We haven't had this type of this many projects in the hopper. And it has made it obvious that we need to plan for these type of situations because from a logistics standpoint, it could be a nightmare, not only for the surrounding neighbors, but also for who is doing the work and trying to, you know, get the construction done. So, yes, ma'am.
Actually, we'll make it so that they park on the property of where they're building. That's what they should do. Bill could have, if he'd thought about it, could have done that, but
he did.
Well, no, I mean, he could have parked up in there. Anyway, that's what we're going to do. So, like, Bill will do it. That's what you'll do here, but I mean at your other property. But if you do that, then we won't have to worry about the road.
All right.
That's
that way. See, I'm a Linda whisperer.
You're a Linda whisperer.
What she really meant to say.
All right. Is there anybody else that would like to comment? Or does everybody want to go home?
Yes. I have a question
yes.
for Karen. Karen, do you happen to know if 162 Westlake has a tree cutting permit? Because I've seen 10 plus trees with red tape on them that seem to be destined to be cut down. And I want to make sure before a tree service came out that we knew if there was a tree permit on that.
There has been one submitted.
Okay.
I can't tell you the contents of that, but if you'll reach out to Jennifer, she can pull the file.
Gotcha.
Please put send an email, if you will, and that way it'll be documented.
Massive amount of trees.
All right, that takes care of the city's business for tonight. Thank you, folks, for being here, and we'll see everybody Monday.
Thank you.
All right.
Sorry, we were like in the gallery.
Good night, everybody.
Good job, Jim.
John says to me, literally, am I the only person who's been to this meeting from the beginning?
John
says to me, am I the only person who's been here since the beginning?
Yeah.